This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog. Mike Shope.
He hits a fly ball, right center. Yastrzemski has it! And Blake Snell has pitched the first no-hitter of his brilliant career.
And the Bulldog.
Swing and a ball drilled. Right field. Freeling back. At the wall. Out of here! It's out of here! Alonso, an opposite field home run. And the Mets have the lead.
It's Mike Shope. And the Bulldog.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, sure. 3 o'clock, that's first pitch, or 3:07 or 3:00 something for Yankees Brewers throughout the record books. Actually, the show will never have sounded older, but they're pretty much our record book records. The show will never have sounded worse, between the Brewers and the Yankees from when the Brewers are in the American League. And then also Toronto and Baltimore coming up. Mets are in Houston. Let's go. Where was the 1 o'clock Mets game? I'm 53. Like, I'm real about it. I'm not so much the guy that says every baseball season has to start in Cincinnati or America, even. Like, Cincinnati was always opening day. Today reminded me of that, in that you could never watch that game until, I don't know, the late 90s or something. Maybe they would have ESPN would be in Cincinnati for that, you know, season opener. But when I was younger, you know, before that, you could never watch the whoever the Reds were playing in that game. But the Mets, I mean, the Mets are opening day. They always win. They have some crazy record on 77%. Some crazy record on opening day. So where's that 1 o'clock Mets game? That's what I go back to when I get nostalgic about baseball and this day, is coming home from school and WOR Channel 9, the Mets and somebody from Shea. They're always at home, and they always won. Kind of good. Pleasantville. So where was that 1 o'clock Mets game? Today, we've had the righteous complaint about day two of the baseball schedule, because what they do on day two is they basically just have no afternoon games. Tomorrow there is one, I mean, here is where you really do have to throw out the record books. 4-10, Colorado at Tampa. One afternoon game tomorrow. It's Friday. Everybody else plays at night, you know, for their fans. I understand why these things happen, but greater good. Where's the 1 o'clock Mets game? Where's the 1 o'clock anybody? Yankees, Blue Jays, you know, they could have moved their games up. But they go at 3. 2 games today at 3. 9 at 4. What we need is baseball to have more, at least for the first day of the season, games at 1 and fewer at 4. And we need football all the time to have more games at 4 and fewer at 1. Better for the fans. I would like to offer you, I mean, this is a great offer, right? I would like to offer you the chance to call me with who your favorite team is and why. I get questions when baseball comes up, whether it's ADP chasing or different podcasts I do, people just sort of run by it sometimes. It's that time of year, the start of the season. What is baseball fandom in Buffalo? And I thought about it this morning. Like, I think I've been saying the same thing forever, which is, oh, the Yankees. Why? Because of DiMaggio. I don't know. Like, your dad, your grandpa, there are, like, Yankee roots back from times when we couldn't watch anybody play, at least more than once a week. So I've been answering that question the same way forever, but times have changed, and it might be different now who your favorite. Zach is an Angels fan because his dad had a meal with one of the players.
Yep.
I mean, is that out there? You are a fan of a team because you are connected to a player in some way. Who was the player? It was a pitcher.
It was an outfielder. I'm going to have to text him now. I always forget the player. But okay. Yeah, so I'm because of a meal, I'm connected to two of the longest playoff droughts in American sports. So I love that. 10 years for the Angels, and we're now past a decade with the Sabres.
Oh, the Sabres are the same story?
No, but I mean, like, Buffalo, I'm okay. A Sabres fan.
Okay, right, sure. I thought maybe there was, like, somebody met Alish Kotalik or something a long time ago. Yeah, okay. So, Angels, boom, one. My college roommate was an Angels fan. He grew up in Amherst. I don't remember why. It wasn't Naked Gun. He was an Angels fan. All right. I was a White Sox fan for like a year, and they were good. Probably not a coincidence they were good. It was 1983, and they won the American League West by like 20 games. But the reason I was a fan was there was a girl I liked. So I would have been 11. I don't know. I wasn't a late bloomer in every department. There was a girl I liked at 11. And I had a baseball sticker book with, like, you know, 8 or 10 guys on each team. You buy the stickers at, you know, Mesmer's was our store on Grand Island. Ride your bike to Mesmer's, buy some stickers, and, you know, try to collect the whole set. I think they still have these. And her birthday was the same day as one of the White Sox players. So I decided, like, you know what? I'm into the White Sox. This is my favorite player now. I like her. I like him. That's how that went. I mean, it didn't. That's about as far as it went. But I was into the White Sox in 1983. It was a great year. Maybe the only year to be, only good year to be really into the White Sox, or one of the very few. My path is, you know, like, I've been a few places when it comes to baseball teams. I've had more favorite baseball teams than girlfriends. I think I could safely say that. My mom is from Southern Ohio, so I was first groomed to root for the Reds. So my first game would have been in Cincinnati, not an opener, but we went to games, you know, every other summer or so in Cincinnati for a few years. My interest in the Reds went away when the Mets entered my life. The Mets just moved in. There they were on TV every game. Fun team, Gooden, Strawberries, the mid-80s. They're the only bad guy team I ever liked in sports. If I could go back, I would change that. I would have liked the Raiders. I would have liked the teams that were kind of like the evil empire teams as a kid, because I just sort of fell for like the movie script of it all. You're not supposed to like them. You're supposed to like these guys. So the Mets, I mean, it probably was because that didn't really, I think, come around until after I was into them and watching all their games. Then by 86, they were hated, but that didn't affect me. So Reds to White Sox to that was very brief. It is like relationships, actually. It was Reds without a home team. It was like that. Reds to White Sox to Mets and Blue Jays together. I talked about this with Mike Wilner on Tuesday, longtime Blue Jays reporter, how the Mets and it was like the Sabres and the Leafs for me growing up. Had access to both teams on TV, went to Sabres games, watched Leaf games, went to a couple. It was like almost the same to me. And it really was kind of the same. I liked them both, and they were never in each other's way. They were never both good at the same time. They were in different conferences. The Mets and the Blue Jays, different leagues, never a reason why you couldn't like them both. In my mind, that's how that was. So this you can't do with relationships. Anyway, Reds, White Sox, Blue Jays, and Mets together, and then college, post-college, the Met thing waned. I mean, they were kind of a joke in those years in the mid-90s. They were absolutely a joke in those years. Like Vince Coleman and Saberhagen and Bonilla. Like I hated those Mets teams. I was out. So didn't really feel like I had any need or, you know, sense of loyalty when it came to this. They weren't my first love. They were not, it didn't last. Out on the Mets. Then it was really like whoever could beat the Yankees. I did have that Jeter Rivera Torrey Yankees dynasty run where I just always wanted them to lose. Just always wanted them to lose. World at any time. Then the Mets got to the series, the Subway Series against the Yankees, and I was right back on the Mets. That didn't work out. Anyway, so here we go again. Reds, White Sox, Blue Jays and Mets, anybody but the Yankees, and then Cleveland met my wife. We got into the Bisons and the then Indians. It was Sizemore and Brandon Phillips and Peralta and Sabathia. Victor Martinez, how good was he? All those guys coming up through Buffalo, up to Cleveland, American League Championship. We were crushed when they lost. Went to games in Cleveland, went to Bison games. That was intense. That was like not quite the Sabres. This is 05, 06. Not quite the Sabres, but that was intense. And that died because all those guys left and it wasn't the same anymore. And then I would say that's 20 years ago, since it would only be the only team I really ever got into emotionally since then would be the Bautista Blue Jays. I loved that. Donaldson, Reyes, David Price, Bautista, Tulowitzki, Russell Martin. I loved that team. And that felt great. As you get older, a lot of this stuff, I think, slips away from you naturally. It's more about business. For me, it's actually a career. So it's not always like the same kind of childhood enthusiasm for team. Go team. But when it happens that you really get into one, that feels really good. And that happened for me with the Jays. The Jays, 2025, I can't imagine any other team doing that for me again but Toronto. I think if Toronto got close, I would get into that. And I'm just sort of waiting for it. It is a little bit like the Sabres for me, although not as profound. It is a little bit like that. Just sort of waiting for a reason to like believe in it. And then, so maybe that makes me a bandwagon fan. I don't know. Like I'm definitely not watching all their games when they're 70 and 92. But if they got good, that's what happened with the Bautista teams. I got there. So I'm curious for yours. Like, who is your team and why is it your team? Is it about a girl? Is it about your dad having lunch? Is it about where you were born? Is it about, you know, your first stadium experience? Bulldog was, you know, plainly not here. You're watching, you're listening. Where is he? He's still in Puerto Rico, as far as I know. He's Boston. And for him, it was the ballpark. He saw a game on TV, even in their stadium, and then it was Yastrzemski and Ted Williams, and he fell for the lore of the Red Sox, and I like that. There's no wrong reason. There's no bad reason for liking a team, I think. You test me. But that was Chris's, that it was, I think, about Fenway. 803-0550 for your calls. I'm curious to see just how much diversity there might be, not to say you can't pick, tell me about your favorite team being, you know, one of the more popular ones, but I kind of wonder if Buffalo is maybe more diverse in this way than it used to be. And we'll get to your calls here right now. We'll have Pat Malacaro on. Speaking of opening day in baseball, the Bisons open tomorrow. That'll be next hour. We've got the Sabres home to Pittsburgh tonight. I definitely want to talk some more football, NFL draft, some more dig stuff with his signing in New England. And so we will bounce around. But I really just genuinely am curious for, you know, our listeners, fans, sports fans, who your favorite team is as another season starts and why. Here's Joe on WGR. Hi, Joe.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure, you're welcome.
Hey, buddy, I'm a Cincinnati Reds fan. I'm with you there. And my reason is the Ken Griffey days. I kind of followed the player, and he's the exact reason why I dislike the Yankees.
Griffey Jr.?
Yeah, Griffey Jr. Yeah, well, the dad, too, at the beginning.
Yeah.
But yeah. And we had him, Barry Larson, and then we had Adam Dunn, Austin Kearns.
So was Griffey... Yeah. Was Griffey your favorite before the Reds were, or the other way around?
Griffey was at first, but when he was with the Mariners, I was too young. I'm 36, so I was kind of like still just a fan of baseball before. But then once he became the Reds, I kind of just stuck to the Reds, you know?
Okay, sure.
All that history and everything like that. So
I get it. Did you ever see him? Did you ever see him play?
Yes, once.
Me too. Once.
Down there, back when it was at the Riverfront. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
The whole stadium, and I was a team.
Thanks, Joe. I saw Griffey as a Red in a famous game, kind of a famous game against Cleveland. We were on a baseball trip. This would have been 05 or 06. I never remember which. And in this game, Cleveland got way ahead, and the Reds beat them on a walk-off grand slam, either 8-7 or 9-8 by Adam Dunn. I mean, to see a game where somebody hits a walk-off grand slam to win by one run, that felt pretty cool. On a Friday night, Cleveland-Cincinnati in Cincinnati, and Griffey was on that Reds team. Thanks again, Joe. Here's James next. Hi, James.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
For me, it's the Yankees. I was 12 years old, 1977, Mr. October, Reggie Jackson, 3 home runs in a World Series.
That would do it.
That was it.
That would do it. I think, you know, that somewhere between like 9 or 10 and 12 years old is kind of when you decide, or it chooses you.
Yeah, I was just watching the World Series just to watch, as I remember, you know, as a kid that was, I'm a sports fanatic, so we were just watching it, and he did that, and I've been a Yankees fan ever since.
All right, makes sense. Thanks, James.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. 3 home runs on 3 swings. Try that. Try that at home. They always say don't try that at home. I think you should. Try that at home. Try 3 home runs on 3 swings. Even like your kids pitching. Just try to hit 3 swings. 3 just perfect barrel contact 3 times in a row. Try that. Reggie did it in the World Series. I think I watched the 78 World Series, not 77. I would not have seen that at like I was 5. I would not have seen that. I did watch a little bit in 78. I remember caring about that. And then 79 with the Orioles and the Pirates. Imagine a World Series between the Orioles and the Pirates. But there were 2 in that decade. And 79, I was into that. And I think I wanted the Pirates, but I don't know. I'm a little kid. Forgive me for not remembering. Here is Jordan next. Hi, Jordan.
Hey, Mike. How you doing? First-time caller.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I would say I'm an Atlanta Braves fan. I was born in 1985, and I grew up in a household with my dad, and my dad was a big Braves fan. Funny story, actually. He actually liked the Reds, too. He grew up liking the Reds, and I guess he was a little kid. He put in, I want to say, like a cereal box or something for a Reds T-shirt or something, and he never got it. And so I guess it crushed his spirit and his heart. So my dad went from being a Reds fan and jumped off that bandwagon, and he started liking the Braves and liking Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron. Wow.
Yeah, so my dad loved, you know, he's probably in his early 70s. So my dad was a big Hank Aaron guy. And so I grew up, here I am, 1985, and I grew up, you know, in the 90s, and basically it's TBS. Right, it's TBS.
Right,
it's Smoltz and Maddox and Glavine and you name it, and that's the team that I grew up for. Chipper Jones is my all-time favorite Brave of all time. I actually have never seen a game in Atlanta. I mean, that's definitely one of, on my bucket list to go there and hopefully take my dad there one day. Mm-hmm. But we've seen them in Toronto. We've seen them in Cleveland. We've seen them in Pittsburgh. So we've seen them quite a bit, a few other places. Still like them a lot right now. I was devastated when Freddie Freeman left the Braves.
So was he.
Freddie Freeman?
So was he. Remember he went to L.A. and he was all upset that he went, that he'd made that decision?
Oh, man. Like watching that team, my dad and I were so happy when they won the World Series a couple years ago, obviously. They kind of felt like the Bills for a little bit in the 90s, right? They're winning all these championships and they're getting to the World Series and they just can't win. Obviously, they beat your Indians. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I didn't care about them then.
And then
I didn't like them at all.
Yeah,
95.
So it was great for them to get that next one a couple years ago. That was fun. Good memories with my dad there.
Here, Jordan, if I may, so yeah. TBS. I should have mentioned the Braves in my opening because in my like teenage years, and I just baseball was almost like the most important thing in my life.
Yeah,
I would get home and they would play at 5:30. Or
it was awesome.
And to have cable, like we would just get cable right around then in those like mid-80s, and you'd get home and there are the Braves, and they were awful. I loved Murphy. they were awful, but it was still so cool to have, you know, live baseball on in your house at 5:30. I mean, who does that? But I think it was 5:30, but that was the Braves.
That sounds right. I feel like growing up too, sometimes, you know, having an early dinner and then maybe going downstairs or maybe having a little, you know, a little tray table set up and having dinner in front of the TV and watching with my dad, watching with my brother, watching the Braves. And so some really good memories, and I'm excited for them this year. I hopefully they can get healthy, but definitely hard seeing some of the guys, Swanson and Freeman and now Max Fried with the Yankees.
Yeah, that's how that goes.
I know, it's kind of weird seeing some of these guys leave.
Sure, I understand. Thanks, Jordan, for calling. I bet I'm mentioning how I wonder just if favorite team within Buffalo is more diverse than it used to be, because why wouldn't it be? I mean, the Braves thing happened, it like we talked about, it started with it being available, and now like everything is available. So if you loved Ichiro, right, whoever is the best player, Mike Trout, somebody that in previous generations you would never see. Somebody like, for me, that would be Tony Gwynn, or, you know, even going back farther. I mean, almost never see, maybe in an All-Star game. You might see them once a year. Now, you can afford it, you can watch any team every day. And so if you loved Ichiro or you loved Mike Trout or you loved some, you know, whoever, Ohtani, like, those teams could be your favorite team because of that. Depending on.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
On your work schedule, maybe you work late, you get home, you're up for 10 o'clock games and you get down the West Coast and you're watching those teams every day. I have a friend who is a Mariners fan, and I think his story is something like that, where it was just like available and it hadn't ever been available. So wouldn't that tell you? You know, I mean, if loyalty is a thing, and if it you grow up with the Yankees, your mom or dad rooted for them, then maybe you always will. But I never rooted for teams or athletes my dad liked. I always like, as a rule, go the other way. He's Borg, so I'm McEnroe, right? So if he was not into team sports really, but if he loved the Yankees, I know I would not have. Nothing against him, love him, but I would not have picked the same team as him, because that would have been, I don't know, it would have. I just wouldn't have. That's just me. I think maybe more fans here that like baseball are into just way more teams. The Rockies are a good test for this. If you're into the Rockies, that's tough. But still, I think that might be right. And those Braves years, watching them on TBS, were really fun. I mean, they were never good, but it was great to have that. Just, you might not even be able to appreciate how awesome it was to go from if you're a baseball fan as a kid, Saturday afternoons at 2, that's what you get, one game a week, to, wow, every night, Braves at 5:30, Mets at 7, Yankees at 7, whatever. It was just mind-blowing. All right, your favorite team and why, 803-0550. Won't do this all day. Want to get to some football. Definitely the Sabres tonight, too, so we'll move around. But I like this for now. Mike Schoep here. Bulldog is off today. This is WGR.
Here's a 2-0. That is ripped into right. Back at the wall. See ya! Home run! What a start. Yankees on top, 1-0.
Joe Buck back in our lives. There he is on ESPN today, opening day, Yankees Brewers. Austin Wells talked about this last couple of days briefly. A catcher batting leadoff for the Yankees, but that's what we've got. He gets on base, and first time up this year, he got on all of them. Leadoff home run. 1-0, Yankees in the second. Toronto hosting Baltimore, yet to start. Ceremony. If they had a ceremony planned for 3 o'clock or 3:07, why would they have listed first pitch at 3:07 and not, like, it's 3:32? You could have just told us. It doesn't sound like it right now, but I love that it's all starting. 803-0550. With baseball starting today, mostly. You know, kind of the real opening day. Hate to have to qualify that every time, but I need you to know that I am aware there were two games last week in Tokyo. Your favorite team and why? I wonder if it's more diverse than it used to be, if it's the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Mets or the Blue Jays, than it is. But, you know, some of you already have called in with interesting backstories. Let's go to Norm here. Hi, Norm.
Hey, how are you, Mike? Good to talk to you, buddy.
Same. Thanks.
So my story is probably not unlike yours or anybody else's, but I came from a working-class family in Buffalo. We drove very early on a Saturday morning to Boston. Didn't know I was going to see opening day see the Boston team. And then we drove after that matinee game on a Saturday to see a matinee game in Cleveland to watch my first Indians game. Very, very exciting back then. And as I got a little bit older, we used to spend the springtime in Sarasota Siesta Key at the Ed Smith Stadium and watch the Chicago White Sox. And seeing Bo Jackson and Michael Jordan right there, you know, 20, 30, 40 feet away. And wow, what a team back then.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Never thought about that. But yeah, I guess he would have been there.
Going a few years back.
So which team stuck with you?
The Cleveland Indians, for sure.
Okay.
Working class team. However, sitting underneath the Citgo sign in Boston for the most amazing Philly cheesesteaks on the planet, food versus team, probably they don't go hand in hand, but I think they do.
Very good. Thanks, Norm. I follow a woman on Twitter named Lucy Burge. She was with Bet when it was BetQL and then BetMGM. I don't think she is any longer. But one of her things, she finds accounts like minor league baseball or just sports team accounts where they have some new food item. I got to get this for you. I responded to her. I've never met her. We did a podcast together once, but that's it. She just responds with like, would or would not. Would you eat this? And this one today, the Hartford, this is offensive to me. Most of these are just like, you know how the Sabres do it, the dog of the day. It's a foot-long hot dog with like some other popular, with a Reuben sandwich on top of it or something like that. Like, all right, what you're getting is basically you're getting two things that you like. You're getting Travis Hunter. You're getting a hot dog and you're getting a Reuben. Okay, well, they're combined, whatever. I can live with that. The Hartford Yard Goats, which apparently is a team, the Yard Goats unveil the Float Your Goat. And I saw this through Lucy. A quarter-pound all-beef hot dog with chopped peppers, onions, bacon, and brown mustard. Fine, good. Submerged in a glass of goat milk. No.
You lost me on that.
No.
Yeah.
Oh. No. I can't even look at it. Feel free to try it. Feel free to try to look at it. I mean, I don't even care if it's goat milk or milk. No, don't take mustard is on this thing. Don't take my hot dog and just drown it in milk. I can't think of a worse idea. I'd rather it be bourbon or something. You know, give it a little bit of a kick. Milk. No, she said she would eat it, but that's a no for me dog. Literally. Here is Ray next. Hi, Ray.
Hey, Mike. First of all, I got to thank you for frightening me. Every time I go near a tennis can, soup can, vegetable can, I always think about you slicing yourself, and I don't want it happening.
Oh, wow.
To me from, I think it was from your high school days.
That happened to me once. That's right.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, it stuck with me, so thank you.
Okay.
My story, I'm right behind you in age. I'm 51, and growing up before cable, you had your choice of, you know, WPIX, WOR, and maybe, I don't know, was it CTV sometimes for the Blue Jays?
Sure, yes.
And as far as like when you're growing up, I mean, at that age, whatever, 9, 10, I don't know the history of these teams. So it was based on the broadcast. I couldn't stand WOR, and I don't know, maybe because CTV was Canada. So by default, it was the Yankees. Then as you get older, you know, you start to know the history. And I loved Mattingly. He was my favorite player. You know, Winfield, Randolph, those guys. It was just after Bucky Dent, so I wasn't really too aware of that. But it was the darn broadcast that got me into the Yankees. You know, I didn't have a father that watched baseball. It's just that's the way it was.
I can appreciate that. I mean, I loved the Met broadcast with Kiner, who was just a mess.
I liked McCarver.
Yeah, me too. McCarver. Yeah, me too.
But I had no idea Kiner was a player. You know, I didn't know he was a good as a 9-year-old. I don't know. You know,
oh, right.
Started
right.
off fresh at a clean slate at that point.
You also, and by the way, I think of the broadcast for this too. You also had the Expos on CBC on Saturday nights. And
yes.
That was Dave Van Horn, who might be still working, and Duke Snyder.
Yes, yes. Oh, very good.
Yeah.
And thank you for turning me on to the Immaculate Grid. I love okay. playing that, too.
Thanks, Ray. Yeah, cool. The broadcast means a lot. Tony Kubek would do the Blue Jay games in at least some of those years. Yeah, that could mean a lot. Let's go to Greg next. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Mike. Enjoy the topic. I started off as a Cleveland fan simply because I was my first Little League team was the Indians, so that that led me to Cleveland, and then I think I switched because Dad took us to watch an actual Cleveland game. But
and that scared you straight.
Yeah, but that was right about the time that Pete Rose came into the league, and I just took him to heart as an idol, and always felt that if I played smarter and harder than and with more heart than anybody else, I could have more success than maybe my talent would have brought me to, and that came to fruition. But the diversity part of it really comes in with our family. My dad was a White Sox fan because he was a minor league player in the White Sox organization for a period of time.
All right.
They then got a place down in St. Petersburg, and my mother became a Tampa Bay Rays fan. I was the Reds. My brother played for the Tigers in Little League when he was a teenager, and that's right about the time the 68 Tigers won the World Series. So he's a Tigers fan.
Mm-hmm.
And my son is a Red Sox fan because none of us like the Yankees and want to jump on that big bandwagon that everybody seemed to jump on.
You know, the Little League piece I hadn't thought of, but I bet that's a popular reason for kids aligning with teams.
Absolutely.
You
absolutely.
Know?
It's your first real member as a team, and you adopt it.
Yeah. And thank you, Greg. I appreciate your call. That I think has changed. I don't know. This might vary town to town. But when I played Little League baseball, we didn't have like logos. We had colors. So the first year I was the Pirates because we had yellow. The second year I was the Royals because we had royal blue. The Red Sox. But we never had like a Royals hat. We had a hat that said GI on it. It was always, I think now, like when my kids were on an Expos team, and their hat was the Expos. Like, that's way better. That would have maybe helped shape where I was going. But by the time I started playing baseball, I already was like, you know, I knew all the players and the stats. And, like, I was all set, I think, by, like, 6 years old. I was that kid. Not bragging, but it made for a complicated, at times challenging childhood. We have Austin Wells and then later Anthony Volpe homering for the Yankees in their opener against Milwaukee. So 2-0. I think it's weird to see a Yankee game and the pitcher has a beard. I'm not sure, like, it sort of struck me first that it was weird, or that I just know that for the first time ever, the Yankees are allowing facial hair, like, below the lips. So here's Carlos Rodon. It's not the best beard you've ever seen. It's more like a second round NHL playoff series playoff beard, but it's a beard, and that I've never seen before. Yankees were allowed mustaches, but never beards until this year. They buckled. They buckled to the pressure. Here's Tony next. Hi, Tony.
Mike, I was much more excited for this phone call until you told me about those two Yankee home runs with Freddie Peralta starting for me.
Oh.
In one of my leagues today.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's long season. Baseball could not possibly be more in the air for me. I'm headed to a practice right now at a venue you're familiar with we've run into each other there in the fall. So between that and tracking the fantasy portfolio, not comparable to your football one, but enough for me anyways. Yeah, I'm pretty amped about a day like today for sure. I was a Yankees guy, Mike. It was the grandparents for me, and that lasted from early childhood, where I would put the Yankees right there with the Bills and Sabres as far as how I lived and died by, you know, those teams. I can still remember them going into exhibition for a three-game series to end the season in 85. They needed all three. Mm. Might have got the first one before Butch Weiniger flew out in the second game of that series. And, you know, you either won the division or that was it.
The good old days.
Who knows? But for me, I think I like a few more teams. It's probably watered down now, but I do like the wild cards. Where it switched on the Yanks for me was when guys like Tino and Scott Brosius became Giambi and A-Rod.
Okay.
And I am so grateful to have found fantasy baseball, because I've shifted from a team to just my absolute love of players and probably even a broader spectrum of love for the game, by being, you know, as doggone passionate about it as you and many of your listeners are, around football time. So that's where the fire stays lit for me. And, you know, hopefully others out there. I love going into deep drafts with local guys because, you know, it's hard to find each other sometimes.
Right. Yeah, right. Very good. Thank you, Tony. I don't want to say that fantasy gets a bad rap because millions of people play it and are even obsessed with it. It's a little bit much to sort of go straw man. But, you know, once in a while I'll hear somebody say, like, who cares? I'm not reading you my roster anyway. I just think it's a way of talking about the game, whatever the sport is, that I think you can relate to. And it's fun for a lot of people, even specifically in that context. But what it did for me, football or baseball too, when I stopped really caring about teams, is it allowed for me to learn who everybody was to a greater extent. And I wanted that. And I didn't even really know that I wanted that. But, like, I'm in a few baseball leagues, only one for money. Only one. No portfolio. Just one for money. I'm looking. That's what's on my computer screen, though, right now. There it is. Like, that. I enjoyed getting back connected with the sport. And that's how it, you know, made sense to me. That's what I wanted. That's what it did for me. So, yeah, like that, fantasy does play that role, and that's true for any sport, I suppose. Very good. By the way, Tony and Ray, Yankees fans from the 80s, don't let Sal fool you. Don't let anybody fool you. The winningest team in the decade of the 1980s was the Yankees. Yankee fans tend to tell you that they were bad. They won more games in the 80s than any other franchise. Maybe that's bad when you're winning back-to-back in the 70s and you're winning 4 out of 5 in the 90s. Sure. I get it. It wasn't championships. And, you know, that's how we do it. But the Yankees won more games in the 80s than any other team. Okay. This has been fun. Let's keep going. Do you have a, well, you might have a favorite team. Why is it your favorite team? What's the story? 803-0550. We'll have Pat Malacaro on to commemorate the start of the Bison season tomorrow, talk about how they line up and what to look forward to. And then Sal at 5, Paul at 6 for the pregame show, the Sabres hosting Pittsburgh. Bulldog is off. This is Mike Shope on WGR. Excited for opening day in the majors, or the real opening day in the majors. They never make it easy. You just can't say that because it isn't quite correct. Today's great. Games in the Bronx and Toronto are underway. Adley Rutschman, a home run for the Orioles in the top of the first, leading the Blue Jays 1-0. Mike Shope here. Bulldog is off. Watch out for Tyler O'Neill in that game for Baltimore. He has homered. This is pretty good. He has homered in 5 straight opening day games. St. Louis and then Boston. Now he's on the Orioles. Because everybody has to play for everybody. The Sabres home to Pittsburgh tonight. Josh Norris, his official, quote, official injury by the Sabres PR game night sheet, has been changed to middle body from undisclosed. I thought it was weird, and well, weird that it said undisclosed. Like, who isn't disclosing the, Norris hasn't told the Sabres, or like, what? Why is this different than the usually vague descriptions hockey gives you? Why is this one more important to keep secret? Maybe it has to do with what he had before they traded for him. That would make sense to me. I mean, it isn't great. So they've changed that to middle body, whatever that is. It's not shoulder, right? You can't get away with middle body if it's a shoulder injury, I think. Sidney Crosby in town. His 62nd career game against the Sabres. It feels more like 500 to me. 61 games for Crosby against Buffalo. 29 goals, 56 assists. So one more would give him 30 goals all time against the Sabres. They've never met in the playoffs, believe it or not. The Penguins, I mean, he's faced so many franchises in the playoffs and a few several times. Rangers, Ottawa, never against Buffalo, never Florida, never Toronto in the playoffs. And this is likely to be 3 years, and I imagine this is likely to be 3 years in a row for the Penguins to miss the playoffs. Pittsburgh at Buffalo pregame tonight at 6. Alexander Ovechkin scored. He is now 5 away from Gretzky. 5 to tie, 6 to win. And tonight, Washington plays in Minnesota. Not easy to score on Minnesota. And their next game after tonight is against the Sabres in Washington on Sunday. So not likely that the Sabres will be, you know, the team where he ties or breaks the record. He needs 5 goals in his next 2 games for that, one being the game against the Sabres on Sunday. They do have Washington 9 games after that one, though. So 5 goals to tie, 6 to break the record out of 11. Still a pretty good pace. That's about, what, a 40-goal pace? But it is Ovechkin, and it's close. It could happen. Caller mentioned Hank Aaron earlier. That's the thought I had the other day, where Hank Aaron, before my time, barely, but when he was approaching Babe Ruth's home run record, very similar to this in terms of just like importance in the sport, unbreakable record, right? And just like, this is really happening. That's Ovechkin and Gretzky. And Aaron got within 1. I think it was 1, maybe 2, but I think it was 1 by the end of the 73 season. 1 short. So I imagine, I mean, reporters and everybody were trailing him around, you know, the Braves. But 1 short. Then I think on opening day in 74, he hit one in Cincinnati. And then, or right around the beginning of the season. And then against the Dodgers, just a few days later, is when he broke that record. All right. I want to get back to the baseball thing. It was fun. Who is your favorite team and why? Is it family related, where you were born? Is it random? Is it because of who you played Little League baseball representing? Anything. We heard some really fun, differing kind of backstories in the first hour. I encourage you to join me with yours. 803-0550, guests at 4:30 and 5, pregame at 6. Mike Shope here on WGR.